Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this special edition of the Strang Report podcast. As you know, if you listen every day, and many of you do, because I just passed 8 million downloads, I'm happy to say, you know that I talk about everything from A to Z. And today we're going to talk about something we have never talked about before. It's very controversial. It's called QAnon. In fact, I'm going to talk to the author, James Beverly, of a new book called The QAnon Deception. And if you're like me and don't know much about QAnon, and if you want to be in the know because you're hearing a lot of conflicting information, you have got to stay tuned.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, James. I'm so glad you took time from your busy schedule to talk to me about this book. And like I said in the lead-in, I don't know much about it either. You know, I hear things about it. Most of it sounds really weird to me, but also some of the things, these people seem to like Trump, and I like Trump. In fact, you probably know that I wrote 4 books with his name in the title. But I also know that a lot of extremists back Trump, mainly because there was no way that you were going to back the left. So why don't you start out by telling us what is going on and what in the world is QAnon?
Sure. Thanks, Stephen. It's great to be with you. QAnon is a conspiracy theory that goes back to October 2017. And here's the key elements in the theory. It's claimed that there's a figure named Q who is high in U.S. military intelligence and works with Donald Trump to warn people about the deep state and to help mobilize people in Trump's campaign to get rid of the deep state. So there's a first thing, something about a figure called Q. We don't really know who or who he is or who she is or who they are.
I'm old enough to remember Watergate, and there was a figure named Deep Throat. And when he finally died, they revealed who he was.
Right.
And there have been people like that before in the government. So far, you know, it's not too much of a stretch for me to believe that maybe there is somebody who had helped Donald Trump. But it goes way beyond that, doesn't it?
Yes. The other thing to remember or know is that Q is helping Trump lead the battle against the child sex trafficking ring. Now, everybody on earth knows there's pedophiles. Here's the spin in QAnon. What Q says is that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, a lot of Democrats, and other operatives around the world are running this international child kidnapping ring where they kidnap, torture, rape, kill, and then eat the brains of children. So that's where the theory, in my view, becomes untrue and unreliable. As much as Donald Trump disagrees with Hillary Clinton or George Herbert Walker Bush or George W. Bush, I don't think he thinks that Hillary and Bill Clinton and the Bushes, not to mention Queen Elizabeth and the Dalai Lama, are running an international child sex trafficking ring. But that's a key element in QAnon.
We don't even need to talk about it anymore. I mean, that's crazy enough for me. They should have thrown your name and my name in there. I mean, if they're gonna be crazy, I'm not interested in having anything to do with those kind of people, but I know that you don't either because you wrote a whole book. Tell me why you wrote the book, because my impression is that you agree with me because the subtitle is Everything You Need to Know About the World's Most Dangerous Conspiracy Theory.
Right. Well, I wrote it because I was doing research on conspiracy theories in general last spring and summer, and then I noticed how QAnon was rising in importance and influence. And then in August, just after President Trump said something positive about it, the interest went wild. Now, one thing to say about people listening who might be pro-QAnon, some of them wouldn't study the more nasty side of QAnon. They may just say something like, well, we all know pedophiles are in Hollywood, or Jeffrey Epstein was a pedophile. But that is different than saying that Hillary and Barack and the Dalai Lama and Queen Elizabeth II, as I mentioned, that's different from saying they're all part of this pedophile ring.
The main I agree with you 100%. And, you know, in the beginning of the podcast, I should have given everyone your bio. You're a research professor at Tyndall University in Toronto, Canada, and the associate director at the Institute for the Study of American Religion in Woodway, Texas. Now, those are a long way apart. You're also the author and editor of 18 books. You've studied conspiracy theories throughout your 42-year career, and you're known internationally for his expertise on new and world religions. So when I got a copy of your book and when I was contacted about it, and because I was kind of curious, because, you know, I'd sort of decided QAnon was no good, but I wasn't real sure why. I had never even heard some of that outlandish stuff you just said. So I wanted you to do a podcast. So maybe you could talk to us about the book. This is something we need to get into people's hands.
Well, you can get it on Amazon all over the world. It's 216 pages. I've written some books and they were too long and too detailed. I made sure this one wasn't too long. It's popular, but it's based on enormous research. I had some friends and fellow scholars help me, and so it has lots of links to articles and other books, and it has about 400 footnotes. But it's understandable. It's pretty clear. I should say for listeners who love Trump, one of the unique things about my perspective is what I say is you can be pro-Trump. You don't have to be pro-QAnon. And I've actually urged President Trump in the book and through a memo I'm trying to get to him, I've urged him to help stamp out QAnon, because it makes him look bad because of all the craziness in the QAnon theories. I don't think Trump knows a lot about it. Now, QAnon isn't totally wrong. It's almost impossible to be totally wrong in your philosophy or ideology. So QAnon people, teachers, the famous people connected to the movement, for example, a guy named Joe M, or a person named Jordan Sather, or a woman named Tracy Beans. These people have some decent and good things to say. For example, they know that religious freedom is under question now. They know that Trump has been mistreated by mainstream media. The sad thing is, though, their good points are ruined by their accumulation of conspiracy theories. One of the big ones that circulated for several years is JFK Jr. is still alive. And a lot of QAnon people thought that he was going to go public on October 17th, and he was going to become Trump's vice president. Or you had a lot of theories that George Floyd is still alive, or theories that Tom Hanks is a pedophile, et cetera, et cetera. There's just a long list of conspiracy theories that have become part of the QAnon world. There's almost no limit to what they'll accept. So the movement has become anti-vaccine, and it's become also, and from the start, was very nasty. Now, I know you enough, Stephen, that you're pro-Trump and probably not pro-Biden, but you wouldn't say something against Biden just out of the blue with no evidence. I know you enough to know that.
Of course not. In fact, in the books I've written, I was always very careful to research everything.
Right.
As a Christian and as a journalist, I have always been hesitant to throw anybody under the bus. Because,
right,
like you said, nobody is all wrong. You know, I'm disappointed that Donald Trump did not win, or I should say, I personally believe that he did, and it was stolen. But regardless, Joe Biden is our president. We have to accept it. We have to work to change that. And one of them is to change the election system so that it cannot be manipulated again. Right. But I support President Biden. I would never, of course, there's nothing in my career or any of the things that we publish online or podcasts or anything else that we even hinted at. Now, at the same time, we believe in the demonic. We believe that Satan is a real being, if you can put it that way. The Bible's a little bit unclear about what that means, but I heard Robert Morris of Gateway yesterday in a sermon quote the scripture about Satan goes around like a roaring lion, not a roaring lion, you know, and you know, is explaining that Satan is limited and so forth. But the reason I bring it up is there are a lot of people that would think that even believing in Satan or the demonic or deliverance from demons, which, you know, we Pentecostals and Charismatics believe, they would they would label us as kooks. We're not. We stand on the word of God. We try to be reasonable and respect people. We don't try to ram our theology down somebody's throat. But, you know, what you're talking about would also dismiss certain aspects of Christianity. The thing is that they're able to just kind of ignore it. It doesn't affect their life. But lately, you know, Christians were some of the strongest supporters of Trump, not because he's wonderful. We all know that he is very flawed, but so is every other leader. And it was just, it came down to a binary choice. It was either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And it, with that binary choice, to me, there was no question.
Right. Let me give the example that I was going to give about the way QAnon people, teachers, not just your average person who calls himself a follower, but the teachers can say stuff that's just totally wild without evidence. So one teacher named Joe M. wrote in the fall that Joe Biden, the president, had his first wife killed and his son, and he wanted to kill Hunter Biden too. Now that was said in a tweet or a parlay on Parler, I forget which. That was said, no evidence, no worry about how nasty that is. But those kind of accusations are common in the QAnon world. I'll give you another one. Michelle Obama is a man. President Trump had John McCain executed for treason. North Korea is working in alliance with Trump. Mother Teresa engaged in child trafficking.
Oh, my.
Lizard people are real. Now, some of these theories aren't from the Q guy. He wrote, I think the Q person was originally a male, but I think over time, different people sent in the posts. You're supposed to wait for a Q post on various sites on the internet. Anyway, some of those theories that I mentioned are not directly from Q, but they're taught in the QAnon world. And it's partly because whoever is at the top of the QAnon world doesn't have boundaries on what can be said or believed. And so all sorts of wild theories get circulated virtually every week.
Talking about that, I'm thinking that as a publisher, you know, there's a thing called fiction. And in fiction, you can create characters, have them say and do any kind of crazy stuff. And of course, we all know of examples where that's the case. And often these are made into some really crazy movies. But the difference here is that it's parading as truth. You know, this is so weird. I almost hate to dive into it. So let's switch gears. And, you know, most of my listeners would be believers in Jesus, or at least they're curious, or they wouldn't be on the Charisma Podcast Network checking out the Strang Report. So why don't you talk to them about the significance of this, or maybe what they could do, or if
Sure.
You know, what can the average person do? All this nonsense is going on. How in the world can I defend Barack Obama or Mother Teresa from these kind of spurious charges?
Well, one reason I wrote my book is because I saw how popular QAnon is. Now, thankfully, I don't know any major evangelical or charismatic leader who's really big pro-QAnon. The only exception is a guy named Dave Hayes, who's called the Praying Medic. He's been on the Sid Roth show, and he has hundreds of thousands of followers. So I'm really sad to see that. There's the fireman prophet, Mark Taylor. He's become a fan of QAnon, and he's part of a church movement that uses the Bible as the source, as the word of God, but they also reference QAnon stuff. And I find that really regrettable because I think the movement, it's not totally wrong, but it has characteristics that are so misleading and dangerous. The movement.
I agree with you entirely. And I do know Mark Taylor personally.
Yeah, I've talked to Mark on the phone.
Right. Well, I've met him in person numerous times and back around the time of the 2016 election, actually did some podcasts with him. But I was able to see that he was, you know, even before QAnon started, that he was going farther and farther out. So a lot of people, including me, have just backed off. I don't want to harm Mark, but I'm just very, very wary. And I'm actually sorry to hear, you know, that he has gotten involved with all this. So I guess what you're saying is that people can just, you know, use wisdom, which we believe the Holy Spirit gives us, to discern between good and evil, and also realize that, at least in my opinion, church warfare is things to go on to try to make, you know, otherwise good people look crazy just because of association or something like that, especially in this cancel culture that we find ourselves in. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, one thing I would suggest people to do is when they hear theories, you have to, I mean, sometimes theories are so ridiculous. Like if I tell your audience now that I'm actually not in an office, I'm actually on the North Pole. People are going to say, I doubt that. No, it's possible, isn't it? Yes, but really, you can check it out. I don't like the cold that much. If I said that I was on Mars with that new rover, well, then we know I've crossed the boundary into insanity. So what people should do is when they hear really wild, crazy theories, they shouldn't believe them until they investigate. And they'll find out, as I did, that lots of the core QAnon ideas are not true. In fact, when I wrote a memo for President Trump, I said, you can tell even by where Q pushes his theories that something is deeply wrong. When Q started on October 28th, 2017, to find his teachings, you had to go on 4chan, and then he moved to 8chan, and then he moved to 8kun, the number 8 and K-U-N. These are the worst sites on the internet. I had to get my computer technician to change my computer so I could look at the Q post. You would get on the same page Q's teachings, and then if you went up and down the page a bit, you would see the most racist, sexist, bigoted, anti-Semitic material. You would have verbal attacks on, even though QAnon's pro-Trump, other people would be attacking him, or they'd be making the nastiest accusations. So anyway, I urge people to check things out. And then, of course, one thing to realize is why is this so popular? It's popular because the early QAnon teachers were very good at social media. And they, even in the first month it started, there were phenomenal videos pushing QAnon, dramatically done, sound like truth, And that seduced people. And then through Facebook and Twitter, QAnon caught on. And then sadly, when President Trump said nice things about QAnon people, that made the media more interested. And now I've collected about 2,300 articles on QAnon, the vast majority since August. Now, what President Trump said was he knew that QAnon people were against pedophiles, and he properly said that's understandable. And then he said, I know they like me, and of course he appreciates that. I wish at the time he dug deeper, and I've now urged him to go public and say, I'm grateful to all the QAnon people for supporting me, but I want you to get rid of all the stupid, racist, bigoted, false theories that make me look dumb because I've said nice things about QAnon. I hope he's the only person in the world who could really make a difference on QAnon. Because I think most QAnon people, hundreds of thousands of them, I think most of them respect him so much that if he said, no, this movement has a dark side and we shouldn't follow it, I think that would do more than anything else to help people realize QAnon is dangerous.
Well, I wish that this message would get through to him. And who knows, somebody may forward the link to this podcast to somebody in his circle.
Yes, I've asked my friend Michael Brown. He's going to try to get the memo I wrote for President Trump through to him through a common friend.
Is somebody that I respect. And I just noticed on the back of your book, there's a good quote. He says, Professor Beverly makes the strange and complicated world of QAnon understandable while he dismantles its bizarre theories and unfounded claims. He also explains the odd relationship between QAnon and Donald Trump. This right. is definitely a case of truth being stranger than fiction.
Right. And
of course, he is an author. He has a respected radio program. He's respected in my world a great deal.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I consider him a good friend. So yeah. That's a high endorsement. Why don't you tell my listeners where they can get this book, The QAnon okay. Deception?
All right. It'll be available at some bookstores, but it's for most people, they'll have to go to Amazon, either Amazon.com or Amazon Canada or Amazon in England, or it now is selling in Amazon Australia. So that's probably the best way to get it. It's not that expensive. The digital version is only $7 US, and it's a pretty easy read. And the other thing is I'm open to criticism and correction. So in the book, I give my Gmail address, Professor Jim Beverly, L-E-Y on the end of Beverly at gmail.com. And I don't mind hearing from people. I was actually on Michael Brown's line of fire 2 days in a row, and some QAnon people joined in the discussion, and they were really nasty. But, you know, if someone says something and you realize that they're careful with their facts and they may have something to correct you on, that's fine. But people said such ridiculous things, and I could tell they hadn't even read the book. It reminds me of people who talk against Donald Trump in certain ways, and you can tell they've never studied the topic. Now, as you said, most people recognize his major weaknesses, but the left hate him so much, they don't even bother much of the time, or at least some of the time, with being careful. For example, the accusation that he said there's fine people on both sides in the Charlottesville riot last summer, as if he equates your average Southern person as equal to neo-Nazis. He was just completely distorted.
I agree with you. He was talking about people debating whether the statues should stay there or be taken down,
yeah,
which is entirely different. than the neo-Nazis are.
You know, the when you mentioned earlier about your view the election was stolen, I've studied that topic quite a bit. And one thing I would wish for America is that they would figure out a way to analyze the election so that we could get to the bottom of things. And on that, you know, I've been telling people, Patrick Byrne just wrote a book called Deep Rig, where he lays out his reasoning to think the election was fraudulent. Well, listen, I wish leftist people and the leaders in media like the New York Times or CNN or Washington Post, why don't they take the challenge of reading Patrick's book and analyzing it, and if he's wrong, refute him and make it clear. You can't just repeat, oh, we all know the election was honest. No, we don't all know that. And millions of Americans think that the election was stolen.
And well, it wasn't just a matter, a handful of precincts like in Cook County in 1960, where it made Illinois go for Kennedy and put JFK in the White House. You know, this was, you know, Trump was ahead, and in the middle of the night, they found boxes full of ballots for Biden, all of them for Biden. I mean, you know, it's almost fraudulent on its face. And it wasn't all over the country. It was in the seven states that Biden had to win, you know, the toss-up states that they talk about.
Right.
Now, what I think is that there should be a Mueller type of probe. You know, the Democrats were very quick to appoint a special prosecutor over Russian interference in the election. And I never even really understood what it was that Russia was doing to interfere. It was just sort of like, you know, bad. But, you know, at one point they made a big, big, big deal about a relatively short meeting that a couple of the Donald Trump's children had with somebody from Russia. You know, there was some controversy over what they discussed. Some people said that the person was going to tell them some dirt, and somebody else said that she was going to discuss some things having to do with adoption policies. But regardless, it was minor beyond minor, and you would have thought the world ended. And when the same kinds of things happened with Hunter Biden on the other side, I mean, that's not really the topic of our podcast, but, and I don't mean to be on a soapbox, but it's just that you ask what should be done, and we should have a special prosecutor. There is a great double standard here where the left just wants to kind of brush it under the rug and never really look at it. But we need to, because we need integrity in our elections, or else the only people that are ever going to be in office are the ones who steal it the best.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned Mueller. You know, that probe went on for several years and cost millions. That reminds me of a big error in the QAnon world. Early on, Q posted that Mueller wasn't actually against Trump. That whole investigation was just a false flag. It was a cover because Mueller under the cover was working with Trump to help capture Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama so they could be arrested. Well, that theory was totally and absolutely false. Mueller was after Trump and in the end couldn't find any proof of collusion. But the media,
a couple of Trump's people went to jail when they kind of stumbled over things that they had done wrong with their taxes.
Right.
You know, it's not right to cheat on your taxes, but I mean, compared to, at least in my opinion, of Hillary Clinton getting away with destroying 30,000 emails that were subpoenaed, you know, I think they could put you away for not giving one email that was subpoenaed, you know, if you were just an ordinary person.
Right.
And I was in a civil case once where some emails were subpoenaed and, you know, the whole thing was resolved and, you know, it wasn't really that big a deal. But when the subpoena came for the emails, we gave them all over. My attitude is, I don't even want to know what's in them. I don't even want to be tempted to, suppress one of them. And, you know, obviously they didn't find whatever they were looking for. But I, you know, when all that came up, I couldn't help but just remember that my reaction was to cooperate entirely. And that was a That was a civil case over a business disagreement. And, right. You know, far, far less than what Hillary Clinton was. But anyway.
Right. Well, you know, one thing to say here is, even if people do not like President Trump and never voted for him and so on and so forth, all Americans should be deeply disturbed at the way that the state went after Trump even before he became president. And so there, people should watch the documentary called The Plot Against the President. It shows the ways that there was manipulation and maneuvering to get Trump, to get Michael Flynn, et cetera. Now I'm worried that the Durham investigation will be crushed and we'll never get to see the evidence that's there about the attack on Trump. Just like we probably won't get a really honest, careful analysis of the 2020 election.
You're right about that.
Oh, one thing to say about the election and the loss, the QAnon world, along with a few charismatic prophets, have gone wild in saying that actually Trump is working with the military and there's going to be a takeover of the White House. So Trump's put back on March 4th, or if not March 4th, soon. Well, Michael Flynn thankfully went public and has said all that talk about Trump now working with the military or there's going to be a insurrection, it's not true. And I guess now we're looking for whether Trump will join in November in the 2024 election.
Well, that's, again, a topic for another day.
Yep.
You know, the people will be listening to this podcast a long time. We're actually recording it on March 1st, and I actually heard President Trump yesterday at CPAC. He was his old self. He did not seem the least bit depressed, but he hinted. He did not announce, but he hinted at another run. And of course, that's been widely reported. But all right. Of us who are watching were kind of curious what he'd have to say. Well, you are one of the most interesting people I've interviewed. And I have, of course, interviewed hundreds and hundreds.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. That's very
nice. And this podcast went longer than normal. But if anybody listened to it this long, they must have been interested in it. So I just urge people to get this book, QAnon Deception, by Professor James A. Beverly, spelled L-E-Y at the end. And let's get the word out by sharing this podcast with others. And be sure to tune in again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.